These, this is really special. This is something we've been talking about and doing for a long time. You know, it's just part of the special stuff that Planet Bluegrass brings you, that special sauce. You know what I'm talking about. So they have an amazing book out called The Liberal Redneck Manifesto, Dragging Dixie Out of the Dark. Will you please welcome, from the well-read comedy tour, the one, the only, Corey Forrester. Look around you guys, isn't this fantastic? Isn't this very much the opposite of what you're about to see? Isn't this great? I got here 4 days ago so that I could like get used to the atmosphere and make sure that my breath was good and make sure that I was drinking enough water. And 4 days later, I can tell you that I'm still very fat and it does not matter at all. They kept saying, they were like, drink water, you gotta drink water. And I don't know how much water is in 17 beers, but here we are, everybody. This is like too beautiful to be doing I'm usually doing stand-up in like very dingy clubs where everybody hates me. And it's so nice to be outside in a beautiful area where everybody hates me. You know what I'm saying? I feel like at any moment this is just going to turn into the Truman Show. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I keep walking towards that mountain, all of a sudden the complete set is just going to fall down. I'm going to get shot in the neck with a tranquilizer dart. They're going to drag me back to the cabin and we're going to start this entire thing over again. This is truly, oh, somebody throwing marshmallows at me? Thank you. Yeah, like I don't look like I've eaten enough marshmallows today. This is what I look like. I look like the guy that is going to be parking everybody's RVs later. Don't I look great? Look at this. Isn't that a different guy all of a sudden? Isn't that terrifying? What about that? I came out here and for a second everybody thought like, oh no, maybe this guy could be like a model or something. Like maybe a Carhartt model or something. I take my hat off and immediately I look like a baby going through a divorce. You know what I mean? Like I look like I was just born and I was immediately like, you know what? Rip this thing off. I got stuff to do. I got a mortgage. I look like a papaw and a toddler at the same time. That's very hard to pull off. Now this is beautiful. Telluride is a very, it's a very lovely city, and I've had a great time here. Y'all know that like people everywhere aren't like this though. Like correct, like Telluride has a very specific type of person. Like everybody in town is like that type of nice where you think it might be a Stepford Wife situation going on. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't trust you. We're way too divided as a country for you to look at somebody like me and be like, here's a free pancake. It's not, you know how many times I've eaten eggs today? So many times. You just walk around Telluride, you're like, I'm going to have some breakfast. And then you walk out and they're like, hey, you want to come in here and get breakfast? And you're like, I really don't, but you smell like patchouli and weed. And I know I need to be nice to you. So I'm going to hang out. I mean, so, and a lot of these restaurants in Telluride, you don't even have to give them money. A lot of them just accept selfies with your dog. That's the whole thing. They're like, just bring your dog. If we can pet your dog, you can have all this bacon that we have. It's tremendous, y'all. And I'm not used to doing festivals where you can just freely smoke weed, and it has really scared the crap out of me. Like you have no idea how many dudes I have tackled. Like, buddy, there's a cop over there. Y'all, Colorado, I love you very much. I really do. But y'all are getting way too insane. As soon as we found out, like, hey, pot's legal, they're like, all right, let's put it in cereal. Why? You know what I want after I smoke pot? Cereal. And then I climb that mountain and I want to jump off. This is not good. I got high the other night and I was like, oh my God, that mountain looks just like the mountain on the side of the Coors can. They're like, that is the mountain on the side of a Coors can. I was like, we're living in an advertisement. This is hell. Y'all are putting weed in Cheetos now. My God, what? If y'all start putting them in Little Debbie's, I'm going to have to go to the emergency room every single day. I know that. It's pretty rad. Like, every time we're in Denver, like, our fans are some of the coolest people in the world. So, like, they always, we don't ever have to buy weed. They always just bring us weed. You know what I mean? And, like, also, our fans are usually older, so they always bring it to us in, like, a Cool Whip tub. And so, they're just like, here you go. They want you boys to go hungry. I had an affair with one of the Allman Brothers. Good to see you. All right. Well. This one woman came up to me in Denver, and she had like this, like it was like a Vaseline tub, and it had a pot leaf on the side of it. And I was like, all right, I'm in. And I was like, full disclosure, I have weed in my butt right now. Can I just not? But not that I'm hiding it. I put it there on purpose. It's a weed jelly, all right? And you got to. It's the best way I've found. this lady comes up. I was like, what is that? She goes, well, it's a weed salve. Right, weed jelly's way funnier. That's why I say that. But she's like, it's a weed salve. And what, I was like, what do you do? She goes, well, like if your arm starts hurting, you just kind of like, and then there you go. Your arm doesn't hurt anymore. And I was like, yeah, that's exactly how I'm going to use it. You know what I mean? Like I've never known so quickly that I was putting something in my butt. Does that make sense to y'all? Like I've never, that has got to be what it's like when you see Jason Momoa's wiener for the first time. You know what I mean? Like, wow. I didn't even know I was into it, but that's going in my butt right now. And yes, I'm saying butt because I know there's children here. I'm cleaning it up. It is the best way to take weed. I don't know if I can educate Coloradans on weed, but if you're not putting it in your butt, you are missing out, everybody, because you get high just like normal. Normal's probably a loose interpretation of the word there, but You do get high and it lowers your inhibitions. You want to hang out. And also from a physical standpoint alone, the first crap you take afterwards, straight out. You know what I mean? Just like a bobsled team making time. I was at a resort with my wife and I put some of that up there and I had to call the maid. I was like, look, you're going to want to come in here. I need to give you a tip. She's like, we, here at the Sandals Resort, we do not accept tips. I was like, you're going to want a tip for what just happened in here. It hit the wall first. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how. It's on my Snapchat if you're into that. That's. I'm from a small town in North Georgia called Chickamauga, Georgia. Yeah? Yeah. All those people just crossed off the last square on their racist bingo card. That's great. Good for you. Tremendous. I don't know. I don't want to sit up here and talk about how racist and backwards and not progressive my hometown is. I'm going to, but I really don't want to. You know what I mean? I long for a day. My hometown is so racist. I knew there were old people here. That was amazing. Look, we know who Gene Rayburn is. Look at us. My hometown is so racist that other racists point their blankets towards it three times a day. Oh, shut up. That's a great joke. Don't you be cowards. Don't you listen to me tell you right. Don't you get so woke that you forget to love. That's what this show's all about. So it's Chickamauga. It's known for the Battle of Chickamauga, which is the bloodiest two-day battle in the entire Civil War. You have to specify. You have to say it's the bloodiest two-day battle, because if you just say it's the bloodiest battle, all those bloodiest three-day battle dudes will come out, what? You don't know shit! I cursed. I'm sorry. So, if you come from a town that is known for a Civil War battle, you're going to run into a thing called a Civil War reenactment. Have you ever? How was your childhood? If you don't know what a Civil War reenactment is, I encourage you to please get up and go to the merch tent until I'm done. That way you don't have to hear about it and you can just live a normal life. A Civil War reenactment is essentially where a bunch of old racists get together and play dress up. It's fantastic. It is. It doesn't make any sense to me. I've never understood the Civil War reenactment. I've never understood it in my life. It makes no, like in the South, it makes no sense. In the North, I get it. Take a lap. You know what I mean? But in the South, it's like, hey, y'all remember that time we got the crap kicked out of us on like a pretty historic level? You don't remember? Take a knee. I got some stuff to tell you. Come here. It's fantastic. I love the Civil War reenactment. These guys commit to the bit so hard. You have no idea how much they commit to the bit. If you're somebody out there like me who was super bummed out when Daniel Day-Lewis called it quits after Phantom Thread because you're going to miss the commitment to the thespian craft that he brought to every film, well, look no further. Because these guys at the Civil War reenactment are truly putting the meth in method acting. It is unlike anything you have ever seen before. Yeah, you can all say you were here for that joke. Isn't that something? That joke plus these mountains, my God, what a time to be alive. They do. They commit to the bit so hard, you can't even pump gas in my hometown on War Between the States days, but having some dude in a full bird Confederate uniform holding a musket walking past you while you're pumping gas, just looking confused as hell. Just,
you must be from New York. What
pray tell is that strange and stinky liquid you're putting in that horseless carriage? I have never seen such a thing in all my days. I'm just like, Bill, this is your freaking gas station, man. You know what I mean? Like, all right, guys, thank y'all. I'm Corey Forster. I really appreciate you very much. Thank you, Telluride. I love y'all. Let's, how about we keep this thing going? This next guy, come to stage, one of my best friends, one of the funniest dudes I know, and the Reverend at my wedding, Mr. Drew Morgan, everybody. What's up, Telluride? Oh man, it's so good to be here. Thank you guys so much for coming out. Let me get something out of the way. The least funny thing in the world is sincerity and gratitude, but I am so sincerely thankful to be here right now. Look at these mounds, y'all. Yeah. All right, now to the dick jokes. It's good to be here. This festival is wild. It's so good to see all of you. So much diversity. Every different type of white person out here. Except poor ones and the black people Bela Fleck brought. It's been good. I've been enjoying that. Woo! Yeah.
It's like that at every festival here, man.
I like this dragon right here. Don't he look like he got a secret to tell y'all, this guy right here? So fun, man. So I'm from Appalachia. I'm from the heart of it. I'm from a little town called Sunbright. Yeah, we named it after the sun, I guess. I guess our first mayor was a caveman. I'm not sure why. Sun bright, infrastructure bad, but my grandma sang on the Grand Ole Opry. I come from a long line of people. My uncle used to play at Siderville. They told me, you're going to go to Colorado to do a bluegrass festival. And I was like, what the hell does Colorado know about bluegrass? Then they showed me the lineup, and I ran to my papa's grave. I was like, you're finally going to be proud of me. Can you believe? It's been so awesome, man. I like being from Appalachia. This crowd's pretty friendly to it, but I travel a lot. It scares a lot of people, this accent specifically, right? Because people, you go around, and people are afraid of this accent. I blame the movie Deliverance, mostly. Yeah, man, banjos and butt stuff. How did that become our stereotype? I mean, they're both fun, but you just got to get permission and make sure everybody's okay with it, you know? But I know this accent scares people. It's just weird, because, like, It's not, it doesn't bother me that people are afraid of my accent. What bothers me is that people aren't afraid of other accents when I travel. Like, people have said to me, well, why don't you have that nice southern accent, man? You know, that soothing one. You know, that slow, drip draw. Sugar, I have been put asunder by the heat, sugar. Father has been gone for days. The crops are not doing well, Drew. Why don't you speak like a cat in heat in a Tennessee Williams poem in the 1800s? And I'm like, because my ancestors didn't own people, that's why. You don't have to clap, I'm not bragging, you're not supposed to own people. I'm just telling you why people from South Carolina talk the way they do, guys. You guys are afraid of the wrong accent, that's all I'm trying to tell y'all. I got a chip on my shoulder, it's barbecue flavored. Thank you, sir. I love you. God, you guys are too supportive. I don't know what to do with all this love. It makes me uncomfortable, man. I am from a little town. It's a rural area. That's a hard word for rural people to say. I feel like y'all did that on purpose. Because they don't let us name nothing, you know what I mean? Y'all had a meeting. You're like, what do we call that place where they can't talk? How about rural? You've done it again, Dave. Way to go. I'm here with my wife. She's also from a rural area. She really loves it here. She digs it. My wife is a hippie. I'm married to a hippie. Yeah. But she's also a redneck. That's a strange combination. Yeah, a lot more of you recognize that here. Usually when I tour, I say that people are like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, I know. Most of them died when the Allman Brothers band broke up. You don't know what a redneck hippie is? I didn't know what an organic Slim Jim was. We're figuring it out together. Her newest thing is essential oils. She's gotten very into essential oils. Yeah, they are essential to her quest to bankrupt our family. She has 43 million bottles. But I made a mistake, guys. I got sick recently, right? And she was like, let me mix you something up. And I was like, no, I believe in science. You guys ever been sick so long you don't believe in anything anymore? Day four of that infection, I was like, yeah, do your worst. I hope you kill me. Do what you want. So she mixed something up with mint and root bar. I don't know what it was. And she was like, let me put it in the shower and you inhale it. And I did that. And I wish I wouldn't. I regret it because it healed me. I got mad. I was like, you're a witch. She said, thank you, and she floated away. You hear him clapping? We still got witches. Did you guys know that? I'm not saying we should murder them in the town square like we used to do to cat ladies in the 1600s. That was wrong, y'all. We shouldn't have done that. But if you know how to kill me with leaves, you should tell me by the third day. I mean, what is this? I got enemies. I want to put hexes on people. I want to go on a broom ride. I hate traffic. Why are you holding out on me? Yeah, love is all sacrifice, though, right? You know? It's tough. We've been together a while. We got some news recently. She stopped taking her birth control, and that was the news. It was news to me, guys. We were in the middle of something. She was like, I stopped taking my birth control. I was like, I stopped having sex with you. What did you just say? She was like, relax, you idiot. I just found out our birth control causes cancer. Did you guys know about this? I was like, oh my God, that makes sense. That's so scary. I mean, cancer, that's like the third scariest thing I could think of right now. Yeah, it goes daughter, son, cancer. That's the order that it goes in. Oh, that's true, Telluride. You can beat cancer. They'll throw a big party. If you beat a kid, they'll throw your buddy in jail. She was like, I'm not trying to get pregnant either. We just need a new plan. I'm like, it's your body. It's your choice. It's information that I needed before I took my shirt off, but okay. I'm hip to it, you know. What's the new plan? We started using condoms again. We did that for almost a whole session. And I see people laughing. Some of the young people are like, well, I don't. Why is that funny? You're eating cold French fries. That's what you're doing right now with your life. You have no idea. You can't go back to cold French fries once you get some hot ones, guys. God,
because when you're young, they're like, have safe sex. Don't you want to have safe sex? When you're young, you're like, absolutely, I want to have any sex. We're out here in the Rockies. There's fucking water in my tent. I wasn't supposed to cuss. I got too excited, everybody. You're like, I'll have safe sex. I'll wear that, a hat, a mask, a wedding ring. Let's get matching tattoos. I don't care. But when you get to be older, they're like, you want to have safe sex? And me and her were like, nah. Can we have scary sex? That's way better sex, right? Yeah. So we've been doing the pull-out method. Yeah, it's fun for the whole family I'm going to have soon. I'm not complaining. We've mixed my two favorite activities, gambling and copulation, but I suck at both of those. I'm just sitting there every night like, no baby, no baby, no baby. Snake eyes, that's twins. Oh, man. I'm just afraid of having kids. I'm scared, you know what I mean? Like, I'm regular scared. I'm extra scared right now. This day and age, this time we're living in, this administration. Hey, welcome to Earth, you little miracle. We love you so much. You're our little bundle of joy. We're all going to die at the same time. Anyway, here's some titty milk. I'm going to have some bourbon. Good luck with everything. Just don't know about having kids right now. I'm an uncle. I like that. Any uncles and aunts out there? Yeah, it's fun, right? So much better being an uncle. Drunk uncle, that's a thing. Yeah, drunk parent, that's a memoir. I'm good at being an uncle. I'll give you advice, a loan, I'll get you hammered, but you can't do that as a parent. They'll teach you lessons, though, your nieces and nephews, like that you're not ready to be a parent. My oldest nephew came up to me very recently, and I want y'all's opinion on this. He came to me and goes, hey, when I get older, I'm going to drink rum like a pirate. Would that be fun? I was like, hell yeah, it'll be fun, man. I got an eye patch in the truck. Let's do this right now. You're not a cop, are you? You have to tell me if you are. That's a rule. I didn't say that. He's 12, but I know what to say. Because I'm supposed to lie to him, right? And that's another thing I don't have. That's why I should be an uncle. Parents, y'all lie to kids all the time. You're so good at it. From the moment they're born, Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, who the real dad is. It's crazy what you teach. It's like capitalism's working out for everybody. You send them to school. It's wild what you're telling them. Three more people every show. And, because what are we supposed to say about drugs and alcohol when they ask, right? You're supposed to be like, drugs and alcohol will kill you. And that is true, but that's not the whole truth, is it, Telluride? Yeah, because we don't tell them why they kill you. There's so much fun, you don't care if you die. Have you ever felt like a god, little buddy? Here's a 50, give me some. I've had a rough week. You take that, you lay back. Sam Bush is going to come on stage and you will feel the best you've ever felt, ever. Guys, thank you so much. I cannot tell you how special this is for us, and you're about to be in for a special treat yourself. It is my pleasure to welcome to the stage the next comedian and the final comedian of the evening. Maybe you've seen him on Bill Maher. Maybe you've seen him on the internet. He goes by the liberal redneck. Now, he can't play the fiddle. He can't play the banjo, but he has, like, too many teeth in his head. He was born in a trailer and his mama did pills. He's supposed to be here is what I'm saying, so... Please welcome to the stage one of the funniest people that I've ever known in my life, and the reason most of you are here right now listening, Mr. Trey Crowder!
Well, damn. How y'all doing? Doing good? Yeah! Man, we really appreciate y'all being here for this, you know, because, I mean, you know, obviously, this is the perfect setup for stand-up comedy, and so, since you guys are, yeah, they called us, asked us if we'd be interested in doing this. We were like, sure, but only if you can promise us it'll be outside in broad daylight, and everybody in the audience will be wet and cold and surrounded by children ribbon dancing in a field. Otherwise, it's just not a stand-up show, you know? Yeah, I'm really glad y'all are here. I'm glad to be here, too. I want to give you a disclaimer. If at any point in my set it seems like I'm out of breath, That's only because I'm very out of breath, because y'all's air ain't air. It's some different kind of thing that I'm not familiar with. I walked 3 blocks to get here. I had to take 4 breaks on the way. And I see people riding by on bicycles. I'm just like, that's a Terminator. That's a robot. You shouldn't be able to do that. I'm just not used to it, man. You know, some of y'all, if you've never been to the South, you get off the plane in Georgia in June, you'll just be like, why is the air made out of water? It's different. You're not used to it. But I am thrilled y'all are here. I do really appreciate it. And because I appreciate it, I want to make this enjoyable as possible for y'all. I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable. So with that said, let's get into it. This country's going to hell and we're all doomed. It's an embarrassing time to be an American, in my opinion. You can't even keep up with all the reasons why it's embarrassing. Every day it's some new embarrassing thing, you know. You got like porn stars, Russians, kids in cages, Space Force, the president has tiny little carny hands, it's everything. Literally everything's embarrassing about being from America right now. But honestly, I don't worry too much about that part of it all, but I know a lot of people do. Like, I live in Los Angeles now. I don't know if you know it's the haircut or not, but that's where I'm at. And a lot of them are very concerned with our reputation abroad. They'll say things like, I don't even want to travel lately, you know, because I know I'll go somewhere, they'll find out I'm an American, and who knows what they're going to think about me. And I'm listening like, oh yeah, yeah, you worried that people from elsewhere might hear you talk, realize where you're from, and make broad, sweeping assumptions about you. Yeah, that sounds terrible. I don't know what I would do in that scenario. Sounds awful. Oh, because as a white Southern man, I'm very used to that particular dynamic. But a lot of Americans are not. This is brand new to them, and they don't like to hear it either, but I don't care. That don't make it any less true, man. I don't care if you're from Denver, Seattle, Portland, San Francisco. As far as France is concerned, you Alabama now. We all the same dumb, guys, in the world's eyes. But because I'm used to it, I try to be cool to these people, try to give them tips on how to handle that whole thing. First tip I always give them, don't try to deny it. Don't try to act like that's not America. It is. It's just not all of us, you know. I used to be real bad about that when it came to the South, when I was younger and dumber. I get all fired up about Southern stereotypes. Like, man, all that stuff people say about the South, that ain't real. It's just a bunch of bull crap, man. And then the news would come on behind me. When we come back, the South Carolina legislation that would ban lesbians from farmers markets. that's crazy timing. Gonna be some pretty terrible farmers markets, am I right? No, but that type of thing, that could happen anywhere. This has literally never happened anywhere. And after a few years of that, I just gave up. I was like, yeah, what do you want me to tell you? A lot of us suck, but have you tried banana pudding? You know, like, you got to focus on the good parts, man. Get through it. I actually, like I said, I live in LA, and I actually like living out there, believe it or not. Having said that, there's some things that are weird for me about living there. Like, you know, for example, my accent, it is of note, generally speaking, to people. My accent has an effect on people out there. It normally has one of two effects. The first is abject terror, so that's fun. Like my neighbors in Burbank, I don't think they know exactly what to make of me yelling cuss words at the IKEA playset I'm trying to put together on a Monday afternoon. They're over there looking through the blinds, just like, I don't know what's going on over there, but it sounds like a hate crime. And the second effect my accent has on people there, and this one's weirder, is skepticism. People don't buy it a lot. Like, they don't believe that I actually talk like this. And, like, first of all, who would fake this accent specifically? That'd be an odd choice. It's like, yeah, I want every new person I meet to think I hate math and I'm super into statues of slave owners. That's my whole deal. That's the vibe I'm trying to put out to the world. It's crazy, but I get it all the time. I do other people's shows out there. I can't tell you how many times I've went up to a guy running the show and introduced myself. Hey, man, I'm Trey. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here. And the guy says something like, are you going to talk like that all night? What are you, like a method comedian or something? I just don't get it because I really believe this is the only genuine accent that would ever get that reaction from a person. Especially there, people come from all over the world to live in L.A. And I just think if I was Irish and I went up to the same dude at the same show, like, hey, I'm Trey, thanks for having me, it's great to be here. I don't think the guy would be like, whoa, pump the brakes, Lucky Charms. Whoa. It's weird. But, look, to be fair, it's not always negative, these interactions. Like, sometimes people hear my accent and they get, like, interested. Like, they want to ask me questions about the South and stuff. And that's fine, but it's never anything fun, though, ever. Like, it's never about cornbread, ever. It's always about some real party starter topic, like institutional racism, something fun like that. Which, that one in particular has always been weird to me, because I'm like, why are you asking me about it when the LAPD is right there? Like, why am I, you know? But... But the biggest thing on their minds lately is this cultural divide we have in this country. Because normally the question is some version of, well, what can we do, Trey? What can we as coastal liberals do to reach these people from where you're from? And that's a hard question, man. People ask me that. And I'm just like, I don't know. Start a GoFundMe to get Toby Keith to sing about health care. I don't know, man. I've been trying to figure out the answer to that question my whole life. You know, I grew up trying to talk sense into some of the more ignorant dudes that I grew up with. And I've had mixed results, man. Like, hasn't went overly well. Really, the first thing I think when people ask me that question is they need to recalibrate what they think a liberal looks and sounds and just is like, you know? Because they liberals where I'm from, like, they're still liberals. They're just a different breed, you know? They don't sound the same. So people in California think they don't exist, but... Case in point, my best friend from growing up, still my best friend, his name's Thompson. Thompson's one of these redneck hippie dudes, you know, cuts the sleeves out of his tie-dyed shirts, listens to Dave Matthews on his tractor, all that stuff. Great guy, he's a pacifist. He's got a lot of the right ideas about things, still learning how to express them, though. I was with Thompson earlier this summer, and so Thompson is hammer drunk, on a boat, talking about some old boy that pissed him off. So redneck trifecta right there, like... I would call it the redneck hat trick, but everybody knows that's when a truck driver pulls a possum out of a cap with titties on the front of it, so. I'd use a different term. But either way, y'all know what I mean. Thompson was fired up. He's telling me about this guy he works with. He works construction. And this other guy, he's got a nephew that's a great Little League baseball player, but when he does something good, the kid celebrates by dancing a little bit. And so this other old boy's worried that that might mean his nephew, you know, might be gay. And Thompson ain't having it, man. He's telling me this story. He's like, what the hell, Trey? He thinks dancing to celebrate makes you gay automatically? Even if the kid is gay, who cares? Is that making me less of a ball player or any less of his nephew? You know what I'm saying, Trey? Just lift a little queer dance. Was so close. Was so close. Because that's the thing with us rural Americans. We're getting there, you know? We're still getting there. Because you grow up in a tiny little town like me and Thompson did, and it has an effect on you, you know? And I feel like I should, like, say at this point, like, when I say small town, like, not like this one. It's very different, very different kind of thing. Because I know some of y'all might be from the area or whatever thing. It's like, yeah, no, small town, we get it, you know, everybody knows everybody, tight-knit community, you know, it's a slow, life moves at a slower pace, just... salt of the earth type people. No. Where I'm from, we're more bath salt of the earth type people. You know, like, it's weird. It's different. And it's not a mountain town thing, for the record, because I'm from East Tennessee. We got mountain towns there, too. And it's a whole different, you know, perspective people have. Like, you tell somebody in the rest of the country you're from a small mountain town in Colorado, and they picture, like, you know, white people in North Faces walking three dogs at once. There's, like, coffee and bicycles and Subarus and stuff. It's great. But you tell somebody you're from a mountain town in East Tennessee and they just hear, just like hide the livestock. It's a completely different perspective. But like the big, like I think growing up in a small town is mostly about like the absence of things. Like there's just so many things we didn't have in my town and we didn't even know we didn't have them. And like some of those things are true for Telluride too, I've noticed, but it's for completely different reasons, right? Like for example, like chains, like chain restaurants or chain businesses or whatever. I haven't seen many here. We don't have any in my hometown, but it's not the same. Like if they tried to bring a Taco Bell into Telluride, people would start a fucking petition, right? To keep that from happening. They tried to bring a Taco Bell into my hometown, we'd start a parade. You'd be like, be on the front page of the newspaper. Best thing to happen since the girls' basketball team got runner-up in the state in 95. Like, it'd be a big deal, right? Which also, side note, walking around, I was thinking about that, the whole chain thing, and it just seems like at some point, Telluride, like, had a city council meeting or something. They were like, listen, we got to keep all these soulless corporate chains out of our community. And one guy was like, what about Patagonia? Well, yeah, of course we're going to have a Patagonia. I mean, we're not... We're not maniacs. But another example is like traffic lights. I haven't really seen any traffic lights. We also don't have any where I grew up. But again, it's very different. Because in my hometown, they actually attempted to install some traffic lights on the square in the 80s. But that didn't take. Because people kept shooting them out in the middle of the night. Yeah. Wait, hey, we don't need no damn commie robots telling us when to stop and when to go. My God. It's America. But then there's all the things that we didn't have in my town that I think they do have in Telluride, like nutrition. Just found out about that. I've been good to have, I bet. We just got concussions like 3 years ago, so that's new. Yeah, for that, you just got your bell rung. That ain't a big deal. Everybody gets a bell rung, you'll be all right. Just walk it off. It's a region game. You'll be fine. What else do we not have in my hometown? Old people who were wise. Like, it's weird. It's weird. You hear all the time about the wisdom of the elderly. And I've come to find in most places that's pretty true. But in towns like mine, the old people are the most wrong about everything all the time. But nobody tells the kids anything different. Like right now in my hometown, there's a single mom dropping her daughter off at Mama Ruby's house. Just like, all right, honey, you listen to Mama Ruby. She's lived a long life, a lot of wisdom to impart. Mama loves you. And then Mama closes the door and Mama Ruby's just like, Hillary's the Antichrist and black people can't swim because they got extra muscle in their legs. I'm seven. It's crazy, man. I think we can make a lot of progress in rural America with just one new rule, one very self-explanatory new rule. Don't listen to Papaw, man. Like, you can still love him and all that, but don't listen to the crazy stuff he says, you know? Because you grew up in a place like I did, you spent a lot of your early adulthood just unlearning the stuff that got downloaded onto you when you were a kid, you know? And I wasn't any different, man. Like, I got to college. I'd be in college sitting in a group project, just say some crazy stuff like, hey, you know, if you feed that dog gunpowder, he'll guard the back door all night. What? Are you sure he won't just get cancer? I'm just saying, I think maybe if we instituted this new rule, then maybe 15 years from now, teenage boys in my hometown might see some stuff on the internet about how transgender people aren't fit to serve this country or whatever and say to each other, I don't know, man, that sounds like some Papaw stuff to me, dude. Maybe it would help. Yeah. Like I said, it has an effect on you growing up in a place like that. And the only thing that I have found so far that helps to mitigate those effects is to, you know, leave. You can come back. That's not what I'm saying, but for at least a little while, go some other places, meet some other people, experience some other things. But the thing is, that's easy for me to say, you know, because the number one thing we didn't have in my hometown that they all have here was money, man. That and yoga festivals. Those two things, like. But yeah, money. Like, go to my hometown and tell some old boy, you know it'd be good for you? Broaden your horizons. See the world. Yeah, you know, I've been thinking that. I have. Figure as soon as I bail my mama out of jail, help my sister get her kids back, it's the Mediterranean for me. That's what I'm going to do. And everybody there is like that in my town, and there's a lot of towns like mine in this country, but it's okay. It's going to be all right. We're going to be fine. You know how I know? Because any minute now, it's going to start trickling down, baby. That's right. Any minute now. Like, everybody grew up poor. I don't know anything about money, but I know that that doesn't make any sense. Like, the idea that what's best for all of us when it comes to money is to give more of it to rich people. Like, dude, that'd be like if all the nut companies, like Planters and Emerald and just Big Nut, if Big Nut came out with a press release, like, hey, great news, you guys. Can't get our nuts in stores anymore. Now, after this, we're giving our entire inventory to squirrels. Huh? Right? Because who better understands nuts than squirrels? Those squirrels are going to put those nuts to the most judicious, efficient use for all of us. You'd be like, I don't think that's how squirrels work. Like, won't they just, you know, squirrel all the nuts away? In some tree in the Cayman Islands somewhere? Like, it's ridiculous, man. Oh, hang on. I catch my breath. Woo! But no, like I said, I really appreciate y'all being here. We're about to, you know, about to wrap this up. We'll get Mr. Sam Bush out here shortly, so everybody's pumped about that. Hell yeah. That's the thing. Again, I really can't tell y'all, like, we really do appreciate it. It's not just, like, getting to do comedy here, we're ratting all that, but it's also what this festival is, too. Like, the music, you know, because, like, this is my music, man. This is the music of my people, so to speak, to my soul, you know? Like, I get real passionate, but not just bluegrass, country, roots, all that. And I'll get fired up about it, you know? Because that's another thing that gets brought up to me a lot in L.A. People hear my accent, and sometimes people be like, oh, yeah, do you like country music? And every time they ask me that question, I'm always just like, oh, God, here we go. But yeah, I love country music, but probably not what you think I mean by that. You know, what do you mean? It's like, well, a lot of stuff I like people call, like, Americana music now. Americana? What's that? Well, as far as I can tell, Americana music is country music that's good. seems to be the only qualifier, as far as I can determine. So I listen to Americana stuff all the time, and I'm like, that's a country song. It's just country music. You know, but you can't call it that anymore, because now country music means something. So it was like written by some record exec in a fucking office somewhere, just throwing darts at like a hillbilly bingo board or something. It's like dirt road pickup truck, baby girl, blue jeans, cold beer, way we do things around here. Cut it. That needs a new yacht. That's all it is. And I just can't stand it, man. It drives me crazy. I'll get so mad, but I feel weird about that sometimes, because my country music fandom is the only area in my life where I'm like super old fashioned like that, you know? Because generally speaking, I'm very anti old fashioned, right? And if you don't know why I feel that way, just, you know, ask a black person. They'll tell you. They understand why it's not generally good to be that old fashioned. But I'm that when it comes to country music, that's just how. Because if you think about it objectively, like, as far as human beings go, the country stars today, it's better that they are the way they are. Like, dude, if Luke Bryan, like, married his 14-year-old stepsister or whatever and set his instruments on fire on stage, they'd commit him to a mental hospital, you know? When Jerry Lee Lewis did it, everybody's just like, classic killer. That's what he does. George Jones is just out there not showing up to shows because he wrecked a four-wheeler into an elementary school drunk or whatever. And everybody's just like, yeah, he lives the songs, you know, like, there's no way to be as a person, you know what I mean? And I know I feel that way objectively, but still, anytime somebody brings up country music, I can't help it. I'm just like, these pretty boys today, they don't know nothing about being country. You know, used to be back in the day, they wouldn't even let you cut a country record unless you inhaled a whole bottle of pills and shot your brother-in-law over a pig. That's how it ought to be. You know? All right, guys, thank you very much for being here and listening to us. We got some music coming up. It's going to be great. This is amazing. Thank you guys very much.